All right, let's turn back there to Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43. We live in a world that's under the fierce anger of God's judgment. You can read Romans chapter 1 at the end, and you'll see where we live. It's where we live. And just as God poured out His fury on the nation of Israel, that political nation, and broke it in pieces, God is setting this world on fire round about, pouring out the fury of His judgment, particularly on our nation. And just as the inhabitants of that political nation regarded it not, that's the case in our day. Look at Isaiah 42:25. Therefore he hath poured out. Let's look at verse 24. Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord? He against whom we have sinned? For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he poured out upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle. And it set him on fire round about, yet he knew not. He knew not. And it hath burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. Laid it not to heart. Well, sometimes we get fearful. And when we see these things going on around us, it's so easy for us to become fearful. To become fearful. And it should bring us, to the feet of our Lord in the fear of reverence to Him under His mighty hand. It really should. But I want us to hear a word from the Lord this morning and try to put everything else just for a moment out of our minds. Try to leave everything outside and think about what the Lord says here. Isaiah 43:1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Fear not. God's the God of all creation, but he's speaking here to them that he's created anew in regeneration. Those that he's made new creatures, new creations, created in righteousness and true holiness. This is the word to God's church, made up of his people who were just powerless, worthless Jacobs, supplanters, tricksters, no different from those that he passes by at all. No difference from those that we just read about that he gave to the spoil and to the robbers. No different. But in Christ, we're Israel. Israel, gathered together out of the four corners of the earth, those that he's created, those that he's formed. And it gives us here reasons not to fear. It gives us reasons not to fear. And if you look at the second half of verse 1, you'll see our outline for this morning. These are three reasons not to fear. First of all, he says, for I have redeemed thee. Here's the second reason. I have called thee by thy name. And here's the third reason. Thou art mine. I told Melinda this week, I said, I know why sin that's in me. I struggle, and the Lord makes you struggle, try to find a message, struggle with yourself. But we just sent to declare what he said. And there it is. There it is. Just simple. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When you hear that, just those three simple reasons not to fear, doesn't it just make the fear go away? Did you just feel it? Did you feel it in your own heart when you read that? Did you feel the fear flee? Ah, you that have been born of his spirit. Listen now. First thing he says here is, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Now, we've got every reason to be fearful in ourselves. We've got every reason to be. We don't have any strength in ourselves. We're dust in ourselves. We sold ourselves under sin. We sold ourselves for naught. We think right now, what is probably, I'll just say, one of the biggest problems in this nation right now? We're trying to purchase that which we don't have funds to purchase. As long as we think, when it comes to God and entering into God's presence, as long as we think we're doing the paying in any regard, even when it comes to God providing for His church, when we think we're doing the paying, we're going to be slave. We're going to be slaves. We're going to get in debt. We're going to get in over our head, because God has redeemed His people. God has paid all the debt we owe. God pays. He pays. He pays. He pays. He paid it all. He pays. He says, I've paid it all. And this is something that I need to say before we go any further. Everybody here that doesn't trust the Lord, everybody here that hasn't come and just cast your care upon Him, you have great reason to fear. You have great reason to fear. You come into God's presence and you experience the naked, strict judgment of God. And it'll be just. It'll be just. It'll be exact. It'll be exact. But this is what He says. I have redeemed thee. This is why He tells His people, there's no reason for you to fear. No reason for you to fear. I have redeemed thee. Whenever Naomi went with her husband and she went down into this country and she left the house of bread. And she went down in this country, and there the sons married women that were, God said, don't mix with these unbelievers. They're going to take you into idolatry. You marry somebody that doesn't believe the Lord, and you're going to end up serving their God. That's what God said. Whatever God says is right. When you read the Ten Commandments, there's nothing in the Ten Commandments that's not just exactly for our good. It's perfect law. Whatever God says, His order's right. And those boys, but the father let them down there, and they married, and they went off, and they all died. Well, there's two of those girls, and they're that were married to him, and one of them's name was Ruth. And Naomi's bitter. She's lost everything. It's a case of a man trying to pay. Him trying to do the paying. Him trying to pay his way and make his way. And God brought him down to bitterness. And they came back to the house of bread, to Bethlehem, Judah. They came back. They got back there, and she went out to the field. Ruth went out in that field to glean, just to try to pick up some that was left on purpose that she could just pick up. And she got out there, and she met a man who gave her in abundance. And she went home, and she said, her mother-in-law, Naomi, said, where'd you get all that? Where'd you get all that? And she said, a man named Boaz. And Naomi said, oh, that's your near kinsman. He can redeem us. He can redeem us. He can pay everything we owe. He can restore everything that's been taken away from us. And you know what God was teaching them through all of that they had to go through to get there? You know what He was teaching them? He was teaching them what He's teaching us right now, every one of His people. He's teaching us what Naomi said to Ruth, just go in to His feet and lay down at His feet and ask Him to cover you. Ask Him to redeem you. He's your Redeemer. The Lord God says of His people, I've paid it. Everything you owed it to me, God said. And He said, and I have frankly forgiven you of everything you owe. That's what He says to every believer sitting in this room right now, through His Spirit, speaking into the heart. He says, I have paid everything. I've paid it all. I've paid it all. That's what it is to be redeemed. How did he do it? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. What a debt we owed a curse. We owed a curse. That was our debt. We owed a curse. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now, when you read that, do you think this one who has paid everything in this way, by being made the curse we owed, by being made a curse for every one of his people, do you think he's going to let his people be harmed and be in danger and be that peace of heart that keeps us in him and keeps us ever trusting him and keeps us near to him and ever stayed upon him and ever trusting his hand alone to provide? Do you think he's going to let the very judgment that he's sending into the world, the very judgment that he's causing all around us right now to wreak havoc upon this nation and upon this world, do you think that this one who redeemed his people by being made a curse in their place for them, do we think for one minute he's ever going to let that peace in our heart be lost to know? Fear not. I have redeemed you. But now, you see all this judgment. We just read about all that judgment last time in the end of chapter 42. But when he gets through talking about the natural Jacob, the natural Israel, he says, but now, Jacob that I've created, Jacob that I have formed, by my own purpose, by my own grace, by my own blood, by my own being made a curse in your place, Jacob I've formed, Israel whom I've created, fear not. I have redeemed you. I have redeemed you. Oh. Oh. Peace. 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 Here's the second thing he says to us. Fear not. Look at the end of verse 43. Fear not. I'm sorry, the end of verse 1 of chapter 43. Fear not. I have called thee by thy name. You know, when your children were born, he said, I've called thee by thy name. When your children were born, us fathers gave them our name. We gave them our name. We not just we gave you a first name, but we gave you our name. We called you by thy name. We called you Curtis and Keller and Shepas and Darmiento and Santa Maria. We called you by our name. God says to his children, I've called thee by thy name. I've called you by your name. He's given his children his name. Look at Genesis 17:1 with me. You remember these two cases here of Genesis 17. You remember this. God, he gave Abraham's name was Abram, and he changed it. He changed his name. Genesis 17:5. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For, here's what Abraham means, a father of many nations. That's what it means. You know who our God is? You know what his name is? A father of many nations. He's got a people who he is the everlasting father of, out of every kindred, tongue, and tribe, and language in this earth. He's the father of many nations. He's got a people in many nations. He gave Abraham his name. His name, the father of many nations. That's who he is. Look at Genesis 32:27. Jacob. The Lord came to Jacob and he wrestled with him. Verse 27, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. The Lord said, not anymore. Not anymore. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. You know, the only ones that ever called his people by the name Jacob throughout the scriptures anymore is God himself. He said, nobody else is going to call you by that name anymore. I'll call you by that name to remind you who you are in yourself. But nobody else calling you that. But look at what he said. He said, your name shall be no more called Jacob, but Israel. And here's what Israel means. A prince that has power with God and with men and has prevailed. You know whose name that is? That's the name of our Redeemer. That's the name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the name of the Prince of Peace, who has power with God and with men, because he came and laid down his life himself and completely put away the sin of his people, glorifying God in the highest, glorifying his own name. He is Israel, the prince who has prevailed, has power with God and with men. And Jacob said to him there, Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. Jacob turned around and said, now tell me your name. And the Lord said, wherefore is it that you've asked after my name? I just told you my name. I just said your name's Israel. I just called you by thy name. In doing so, I called you by my name. Why are you asking me what my name is? Huh? And he blessed him there. Look back at our text in Isaiah 43 and look at verse 7. You sure that's what he's talking about? He said this is who he's doing this for, verse 7. Even everyone that is called by my name. You see that? That means my name is his name. That means you boys in here, listen to me. You boys in here, you firstborn, you sons, your name's always going to be what it is. It ain't ever going to change. It never will change. The child born of God, who he's given his name, it never will change. His son's name never will change. And his daughters, you daughters, when you get married, your name's going to change. You're going to take the name of the husband you marry, and you're going to take his name. And his name's going to be your name from that day forward. Whenever his bride marries the husband, Christ Jesus the Lord, we take his name. And the daughters, his daughter's name never changes. That's their name. What he's joined together and never be put asunder. That's their name. That's our name. That's our name. I want you to see now, what does that mean? Well, what's that mean? Well, it means because his name is on his children. His name is at stake. His name is the one that's at stake of either being shamed or glorified. Now, if he leaves it up to us Jacobs, he proved here with natural Israel, he proved what will happen. You won't walk after me, and you'll turn from me, and you'll deny me, and you'll shame my name. But because he's given his people his name and he's wrought salvation for them, he will see to it, he will absolutely see to it that his name is glorified. And he'll do it by continuing to provide all for his children. He will. Let's see that. Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20. Turn to the right there. Ezekiel 20. He scattered, just as he scattered Israel and drew back his elect remnant from among them. He's drawn out his elect remnant from this Gentile world. And he says here in Ezekiel 20, verse 41, I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered. And I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. That means they're going to know my name. I'm going to make my name known even before the heathen that don't know my name, that don't carry my name. I'm going to make my name. I'm going to be sanctified. My name's going to be lifted up higher above everybody else's name. And he says, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for the which I lifted up mine hand to give it to your fathers. And there shall you remember your ways and all your doings wherein you have been defiled, and ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that you've committed. That's what this grace is doing. It's making us loathe the Jacob that's in us. And he said, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I have wrought with you. Why? For my name's sake. For my name's sake. Not according to your wicked ways, not according to your corrupt doings, O ye house of Israel, saith the Lord God, but for my name's sake. The scribe great Solomon said, this house I've built, Christ our Solomon said, this house I've built is called by your name, Father. It's called by your name. And God said, for my name's sake, not according to our corrupt doings, he said, I'm going to save my people. Let me show you a few more places. Isaiah 48, verse 9. He says, verse 8, yea, thou heardest not, thou knewest not, from that time thine ear was not open. For I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake, he said, will I defer mine anger. And for my praise, he said, will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I've refined thee, but not with silver. I've chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. That's what we're in. That's why he's chosen us. He put us here on purpose, doing what he's planned to do. But look at what he says, verse 11. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? I won't give my glory to another. How am I going? My name's not going to be polluted. So he tells us in our text, the first thing he tells us is, fear not, because I've redeemed you. And the second thing he says, fear not, I've named you. I've called you by your name, and it's my name. And he says in verse 7, everyone that's called by my name, I've created him for my glory. I formed him, yea, I've made him, so I'm going to save him. That's what he tells him. So fear not, fear not. And then the last thing he tells us here, is so precious. Fear not, Isaiah 43:1. Fear not, thou art mine. You're mine. I want to give you just one verse of scripture, and I just love this. Ephesians chapter 1. I just love to see this. Ephesians chapter 1. You've been sealed. You that believe have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And verse 14 says, how do I know I've been sealed by the Spirit of promise? Do you hear this message this morning? I don't mean with these ears. I mean, are you hearing this message this morning in here with these spiritual ears? Are you seeing this, Lord, with these spiritual eyes that are in here, in this body of death somewhere. It's in here, that's alive. Are you hearing it? You hearing him? You hearing what he's saying? That's how we know we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I hear him. I rejoice in him. I want him to have this glory. I want him to do what he's done because he's redeemed me, because he's put his name on me. I want him to do it because he's made me his. Now watch what he says here. This is the earnest of our inheritance. It's the down payment to let us know we got an inheritance coming, an inheritance of eternal glory. It's the earnest. It's the fruit whereby we know he has done this work for us. He has done this work. He's made me his Israel. I believe him. I believe him. And I have this peace in my heart because he put it there. I believe him. And this is the earnest. This is the first fruit given. Until he comes back and redeems to himself, delivers out of this world to himself. Look at those next words. The purchased possession. He says, fear not, thou art mine, my purchased possession. I've owned some things that I purchased, that I paid some dear price for, that I paid a lot for. I have never never paid for something with the life of my only son. Ever. I've never purchased anything by laying down my own life unto death to purchase it. But those things I have paid dearly to purchase, they were my possession. And I protected those possessions. I protected them because they were mine, especially those valuable possessions. You protect, you look over them, you protect them. Brethren, our God has purchased his people. You and me who trust him, he's purchased us with his own blood. He's purchased us with his only begotten son. And as valuable as his son is his possession, as dear as his own name is to him, so are those he's redeemed. So are those, you and I, who are his possession. This is all unto the praise of his glory. Paul said to the Corinthians, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. This earnest you have, the Spirit of God. And ye have it of God, and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, Paul said, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Both of them belong to him. I don't take my body and do anything with it that's going to bring dishonor to him. And I don't want to, my spirit's his. I'm his. He owns me completely. Does he own you? Does he own you? He own you. Well, let's go back, and I'm just going to read this out. We'll look at this another time, but this is the application that he gives to us now. This is the Lord speaking. And let's go home hearing this word of the Lord this morning. Isaiah 43:2. Now, this is what he said. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shalt the flame kindle upon thee. Now, we just had some floods here. And I went over there and we looked at that river, Delaware, and I looked at some videos online and what have you of the river flooded. And there were some things that washed down that river. Some big trees washed down that river. Some big houses washed down that river. But you know the only thing that washed away by the flood was that could be washed away by the flood. That's the only thing that was washed away by the flood. That which could be. That which could be. There's a lot about me and you that can be washed away and needs to be washed away and will be washed away. But the true thee won't ever be washed away. You know what that means? That true thee, that inward man that's been created, that is one with God, won't ever be washed away. It won't be. And when we go through this water, we're going to go through it, and we're going to go through this fire. But the true thee, he said, though it's going to consume the dross, it's not going to kindle upon you. It's not going to burn you. You understand what I'm trying to express here? The true you. The true me. The inward me. That which can't perish because it's the creation of God. You're never going to perish. Only that which needs to be consumed and washed away. Now, he says this wine. Let's just read it out. Verse 3. For I'm the Lord thy God. I'm the Lord thy God. The Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou was precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, because you're precious in his sight. Not too precious in our own sight, but in his sight. And because of that, he says, thou hast been honorable. I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I'll bring thy seed from the east, gather thee from the west. I'll say to the north, give up, to the south, keep not back. I'll bring my sons, bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth. You know, he's telling us to do that. He's telling us to do that as his witnesses. He's saying, bring my sons from far. Don't fear all this stuff, and don't fear all this. I've done everything I've done in this nation right now, the Lord has said, for you on purpose, to make a way for you on purpose, he's saying. And he says, so don't fear all this stuff around me. Bring my sons from far. And he said, and know this, I'm going to bring them. I'm bringing them. I'm providing for, he's telling us, he's providing for us, and he's going to bring his sons from far. I'm not going to get the glory for that, Job. and nobody else is either. He is. He is. And he's going to make us see. He's going to make his witnesses know he's done it. So he gets all the glory for doing it. All the glory for doing it. He says, even everyone that's called by my name, for I've created him for my glory. I've formed him. Yea, I've made him. We're like Gideon's army. We're like Moses and the children of Israel standing at the Red Sea. Enclosed all around. Completely enclosed around. No way out. Absolutely not. God just says one thing. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he opened up that sea and he said, now go forth. Go. Go forth. And they went forth. And he closed that sea up around all the enemies and drowned them. They got to the swelling of the Jordan, going into the promised land, the land he'd promised. He said, hold up the ark and stand there and look at the ark. Put your feet in the edge of it and stand there and look at the ark. And he drew it, dried up the river, and they went across on dry ground. Across on dry ground. That's what he's telling us here, brethren. He's telling us, fear not, I have redeemed thee. Fear not, I've called thee by thy name. Fear not, thou art mine. I'm calling my sons. Bring them. Go bring them. I feel like I can do anything. Don't you? I feel like I can do anything. This is my God talking. Well, I don't feel that way in my heart. Well, Martin Luther said, though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there's one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. And he says to his child, this is his word, fear not. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Amen.